Patrick von Schuchowski, thank you very much indeed for talking to Judge Business School Innovation in India and China podcast series today. You have a dream job as head of AdLabs, and just tell us sort of what cinema groups you control in that position.
Right. I wish I was head of all of AdLabs, but I do look after AdLabs' digital side. AdLabs is the largest film service company in India. In fact, they make about 85% of all the prints of Bollywood films that get shown around India and around the world. So when a film like Genie gets distributed to Australia or Canada, it's the print that comes from our lab. We're involved in many other things as well, post-production, grading, as well as camera rental. So it's effectively a one-stop shop to the Bollywood film industry.
And you began by sort of just mapping out, you know, the scope and scale of the Bollywood film industry in terms of where it's come from to. Give us some of those statistics, because you focused on two things. One, you know, the home market. You know, there aren't that many cinemas in India.
Yes.
But two, you talked of the diaspora.
Yes. There's a huge international audience for Indian films, for Bollywood films, but they tend to fall into two categories. There are the art house films, the Meera Nair type of films, which tend to be seen by Westerners in the art house cinemas, but they don't break out into the multiplexes very often. And then you have the more typical Indian Bollywood, the so-called masala films, but they tend to play to the Indian diaspora, the NRIs, living across the world. And they do have a huge following, so much so that in the United States, the second biggest language after English in terms of annual box office takings is Hindi rather than Japanese or French or Spanish, which you might think. So there is a big audience for Indian films out there, but they tend to be quite distinct. And every once in a while, or we do have the occasional crossover film like Slumdog Millionaires, which is a bit of a mutt of a film because it has mixed parentage, bit of British, bit of Indian, bit of Hollywood.
Now, I know that you live in Mumbai and you focused on the Indian film market, but you did draw some parallels with films like Slumdog Millionaire and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon in the Chinese market, and this is a cinema indeed on innovation in India and China. Can you or dare you venture to compare and contrast?
Yes, I mean, we are seeing this cross-fertilization. You are seeing influences heading both ways. In Bollywood, it is getting more corporate because of the Hollywood studios moving in, because of IPOs, because of media companies starting to form in what was previously a very fragmented, very star-driven system, which was not even recognized as an industry by the Indian government until 2001. So it's gone through a tremendous change in a short amount of time. Now, Hollywood studios are looking at this market and seeing an opportunity because their films account for just 5 to 10% of box office. Indians in India prefer to watch domestic films. So if Hollywood wants to have a slice of that pie, they have to make those Indian films for domestic audiences. Now, that is not unique to India. Hollywood studios like Warner Brothers are active everywhere in China, in Germany, in Spain. And India is a logical extension of that. And if you look at Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, again, it was not a typical Chinese film. It was produced by Sony Pictures. It had some Japanese actors in it. It was a Taiwanese Western-educated director. And the scriptwriter was somebody with a very un-Chinese name of James Shamus. So I think it's inevitable that we're going to see more and more of the meeting of the two cultures in trying to learn the best from each other and for expanding and for growing.
But could it be then that the East takes over West? That in fact, that if you have the battle of the gladiators, you know, Hollywood against Bollywood, that we might in 20 years' time see the globalization of Bollywood and it winning through?
It would be a tall order to think that Bollywood is going to replace Hollywood, but I think it'll be a very, very strong number two. And it is already in a lot of markets, which we don't think about. For example, in the Middle East, where it's pretty much a level playing field between Hollywood films and Bollywood films. They are equally popular at the multiplexes in places like Dubai and Kuwait and so on. So already there, we're seeing more of a strong challenge from Bollywood in countries in Africa and China too. There isn't this massive domination that Hollywood has necessarily in Europe and the Western Hemisphere. So I think that Bollywood will become more pronounced in the future. We're already seeing influences in terms of directors picking up the Indian vision and incorporating to them. Films like Moulin Rouge and Titanic are very, very much influenced by the whole Bollywood aesthetic and the Bollywood way of telling stories and incorporating song and dance into it. So yes, we will see more of that, but I don't think that Bollywood will be overtaking Hollywood just yet.
But then you also talked about the future of cinema and one of the bright spots being escapism during the current recession, and that applies to India too.
Yeah, it's very much so. And in fact, I think where India is today is where Hollywood in the United States was in the 1930s and 40s, where we didn't have internet, we didn't have DVDs and television, we only had radio as an alternative. So if people wanted to escape the grim realities of the Depression, they went to the cinema. And same in India, where for a large part of the rural population, cinema is the only escape that they can afford on a regular basis. And which is why there really are strong parallels between, because in India, even today, the DVD market, the internet market is very much nascent. So it is a very much a cinema-driven industry where 70% of a film's revenue will come from the box office, whereas in a place like Hollywood, they earn most of their money from DVDs and satellite television and so on.
And of course, there's that other factor, the internet. And in China, there's internet connection, and so films can be delivered through the internet. And in India, you said that market is still small, just simply because the internet connections aren't good.
Yes, and I think we're never going to see internet connections and broadband connections in India rising significantly enough for it to be a massive delivery platform for movies the way it can be here in the West. But what we will see is probably a leapfrogging with the mobile phone revolution, which is already so significant. There are more than 300 million Indians with mobile phones. It's not a upper class or middle class phenomenon. It's the man selling vegetables on a street corner. He has a mobile phone. And if you can deliver not entire movies, but song clips, song and dance clips, and little snippets of films, I think that's going to be a much more powerful and profit-making distribution platform for film and content producers than through broadband fixed-line internet.
One other factor in terms of the Indian film industry is language. And you mentioned Hindi as being a very important language in terms of film. Why is that? And you know, is it a global language?
Hindi is the language, obviously, for Bollywood, but it's not the only one. In India, there are very small and thriving industries based around the other regional languages. You've got a Marathi film industry, Bengali, Punjabi, Gujarati as well. In fact, there's a very strong second center of filmmaking after Bollywood and Mumbai in the south, with the Tamil and Telugu film industry, which is completely different from the Hindi, not just the language and alphabet being completely different, but the way of telling stories, the way of making films. Yes, they also have song and dance in it, but it's a very, very different aesthetic. And I think that we're going to see not just Bollywood growing abroad, but I think we could see crossover hits from other Indian languages, such as Tamil and Telugu.
From you personally, as chief operating officer for AdLab's digital cinema, you live in Mumbai.
Yes.
You know, it's a dream job if you love cinema or you're a cinema addict. I mean, what are your observations on India now at this crossroads of a new industrial age globally for all of us, yeah, West and East?
Sure. I agree with you. It is a dream job, but it comes with a nightmare commute. So that's the price you pay, having to put up with Mumbai traffic to get to work. But it really is like a throwback, I think, to Hollywood in the old 1930s and 40s. I come back to this fact, and it is because it has not been very organized until now. The fact that it wasn't recognized as an industry until less than 10 years ago meant that there were underworld connections to it, which made it a bit more dangerous and glamorous, I suppose. It's very much a star-driven system. It really, your film will open depending on how big a star you have in it. It's not driven by directors or producers or even the studios. And this entire world, a classical 30s and 40s Hollywood, comes crashing head-on into the 21st century with the internet, with mobile phones, with piracy, with satellite delivery, with, in the case of AdLabs, we're pushing cinema films over fiber optic undersea cables from India to New York in 3 hours flat. So it's a very, very interesting time because of the fact that Indian Bollywood is going through such a transformation in terms of catching up on 50 years of development that Hollywood in the West has had in a very short space of time, just 5 years effectively.
And that really is about progressive markets, emerging markets as well, which is the theme of this Judge Business School Innovation in India and China conference.
Yes, no, definitely. And we will see even more changes in the next 5 years as Hollywood, comes into Bollywood and as Bollywood becomes more established, both within India and as an international force with companies like Reliance setting up production deals with Hollywood stars like George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Julia Roberts, Tom Hanks, and of course setting up the DreamWorks Spielberg deal with Reliance, but also other Indian companies like UTV going out there producing films like M. Night Shyamalan's The Happening, Meera Nair's The Namesake, and just becoming more of a global force, which should be felt with.
Patrick, thank you very much indeed for talking to Judge Business School Innovation in India and China podcast series today. I've learned a lot.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.